Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to COPA Talk, episode 24. This is Ia Mabel.
And I'm Kelly Jean, and tonight we're here with E.K. Blair, author of Author Anonymous. Hello, E.K.
Hi.
Woo!
Woo!
This is our redo show. In case anyone was listening last week, EK couldn't make it, so she was nice enough to join us again this Saturday so that we can get all these questions asked and answered.
We were asking them.
We're glad that you joined us.
So yeah, let's go ahead with the disclaimer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Just so everyone knows, there will be adult content and foul language, because that's what we do here. And please don't hold other COPA authors responsible for our behavior and the things that we say, because our opinions are our own. And yeah, I think that's it.
Sounds good.
Good. All right. And first of all, we wanted to say, EK, that Kelly and I both read the book, and we both absolutely loved the book, even if we hated the book at the same time, or the characters, or the
yes,
situation.
Thank you.
That we both totally agreed that this was a 5-star book for us, and we loved,
yes,
loved your writing.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Yeah. It was totally one of those books you can't put down, so... For our listeners that don't know about your book or about Author Anonymous, can you tell them a little about it?
Yeah, so Author Anonymous is about an author who wanted to remain anonymous. And I was approached a couple years ago with this opportunity to write about a particular event that happened in this author's life. So the book spans over about a year, and it's a year full of betrayals and lies and scandals and just her whole world falling apart. It's it's a cautionary tale is what I like to put it out as. So
that's a good way to put it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can see that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you have no idea. This, my brain is just overflowing with questions right now, but I'm going to stick to the script here and make sure we get everything in.
All right.
And for people that like to chat. Yeah, I just want to let people know that like to chat. I'm trying to get the chat up on the website, but it's moving really slow, so just bear with me if you guys are, because they're like dying to, you know, talk to us while we're talking, but I'm working on it.
I'm glad I don't have that on my end. All right, so I'll start off the questioning. I felt kind of strange saying this right in the beginning. I just want to let everybody know that, but I found Tori to be a weak, selfish person and lacking in morality. But I was able to relate to her in a sense of her loneliness and her need for some excitement in her life. What I want to know is, what is it about her that made you feel her story was worth telling?
She was just so honest. And I guess, you know, this is a cheating book. And I've read cheating books in the past, and there always seems to be a rhyme or reason for why, you know, the person falls into an affair. And when Anonymous was telling me her story, that never lied within. There was never this catapult moment that changed the direction of her life and her decision-making. And for me, it was kind of like, wow, you could be me. She could be any of us, because she was happy in her marriage. She was happy. Mm-hmm. And this kind of fell into her lap, and she got swept away. And it was for me, again, like I said before, like a cautionary tale, like, whoa, you don't have to be in a bad situation to fall victim to this. And I use victim lightly. Is she a victim? I'm not going to say, you know, one way or another, but it was just, wow, here it is. I can see how
she kind of got, like, swept up
into this so often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She got swept up in the whole fantasy of it almost.
She got swept away. And I think a lot of us do as writers and readers. We read, we write, we lose ourselves in fantasy world, but it was just like, wow, when that fantasy creeps into your reality, how destructive it can be. And sometimes you can't even see it, you know, until it's too late. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
yeah.
I've always been attracted, you know, if you've read my past books, to self-destruction. I've always been attracted to that in my storytelling. And you tend to find that in a lot of my books. Just, you know, these are not pretty stories. And the chance to write this woman's real, not very unpretty story, I was immediately attracted to it.
Yeah, I mean, we talk a lot about, on this show, about how we love books that are realistic and books that, you know, don't always wrap everything up in a pretty bow, or, you know, things aren't always, the girl's not perfect and, you know, the guy's not perfect. There's, you know, real flaws and real situations. And this is, I mean, a real story. So I guess there's no, you know, there's no denying that it was, it can really happen, because it did.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I think that's what hit
like,
the hardest while reading the book.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's always in the back of your mind, like, holy shit, this is, this happened.
This really happened.
You know?
Yeah. For real.
Yeah.
So what was your reaction when you were first asked to write this story? Were you hesitant to write it, or how did you feel about it?
I had to sign an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, for her to even tell me the story. So once we got to that point, I wasn't hesitant at all. I was actually really excited. I'm a pretty impulsive person, you know, so, and something has kind of like sat in my lap, and I mean, to me, she put that story in my lap, and it was like this glittering ball of, oh, my God, I cannot wait to write this.
Exactly.
It was, first of all, it was right up my alley. It just fit what I like to read, what I like to write, you know, the whole tone of the story. No, I wasn't hesitant. I was really excited.
Yeah, maybe even flattered by the fact that she chose you to tell her story.
Oh, beyond. I can't tell you how many times I said, are you sure I'm the one you want to do this? Because it was. It was beyond flattering, and then coming along with that was the stress of, I can't let this person down. Like, there was a lot of pressure to, you know, so...
Well, I kind of liked the fact that she just laid it all out there. I mean, she could have easily skipped over parts or been like, you know, like just given the nice version of what really happened, but she didn't.
There's
she
a nice
told
version?
You everything, and she, well, I mean, she could have, you know, said she did it,
sugar-coated,
you know, she
that
did less than she actually did, or lied less than she actually did, or, you know, I mean, she could have left out parts that definitely would have made her less of, you know, a villain to some readers. Yeah.
But
I mean, there's certain parts where people were really, really upset about.
And there was never she never wanted me to paint her in a more positive light, you know? She kept saying, like, I just have to say it. I have to get it off my shoulders, you know? And she did. She laid it out there. I mean, it was not pretty, you know. And she wanted it told honestly, and that's because I had asked her, why don't you just do this yourself and put it under just some random name? And she had said, because I would contort the story to make myself not look as bad, you know. And I think all of us would just subconsciously do that. I will tell you, there are parts when I was writing it and I would send her, because I would send her the chapters as I would write. I mean, she would say, like, oh my gosh, EK, they're going to hate me. They're going to hate me. And it was just that fear in her. I mean, she wouldn't have been able to tell it, honestly. I'm on the outside. And I was never, like, friend, I didn't know her. We didn't have a relationship before she approached me. So, I just kind of put it out there, honestly.
Yeah, it's probably good, but, too, that you didn't.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, I can't imagine how she's dealing with the reactions to everything.
Yeah.
It's, sorry, Kelly.
It's been a roller coaster. That's all. I think for both of us, this has been the roller coaster.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, as writers, we're protective over our stories anyways, and we're protective over our characters, which are, you know, 9 times out of 10, fictional. But this is a real person. So it's like that protectiveness, it's like I feel like Mama Bear, you know what I mean? But I can't defend her because it is what it is. You know, it's just I have to just kind of take a back seat and, you know, write it out when I want to come to her defense, just because now I know her personally and I, you know, and it's been hard.
Yeah, that's
got
to be hard. Yeah, I bet.
But with the strong reaction that you've received from the readers, do you think you would ever write another two story? Based on the reaction from Author Anonymous.
I don't know. Yes.
Are you sure?
Good. I was hoping you'd say that.
Yeah, you know, I think I would. You know, I mean, yes, there has been controversy surrounding the book, of course. But, and some of it hurts and cuts deeply. At the end of the day, I write because it's an art. And art isn't always supposed to be pretty. And if it doesn't shake you up, it's not worth doing. So I don't know. I like to make people think. I like to push the boundaries, like especially in my fiction work. All stories are meant to be told. And if I can help be that person's voice and it's a story that fits with me and one that I feel worthy that, you know, people should read, and, why not? You know, why not? We don't always get the happily ever afters and the, you know, it's like my favorite writer of all time is Shakespeare. Oh, my God, you don't get more correct than that. You know, but these are beautiful love stories, but they're tragic and whatever, and why do we need rainbows and butterflies? It's art. Let's just, I don't know. I would definitely tell somebody else's story if it fit with me and it was a good mix. Yeah.
Yeah, story you feel like should have been told or needs to be told, right?
Yeah, and I think this was a really good story to be told. It's, hey, this happens, and it doesn't happen for a particular reason. Sometimes life just happens, and it spins our world out of control before we even know it. And it's, you know, like I said, cautionary tale, guard your heart, you know, when always, you know, because the moment you don't, you can fall into a hole.
And it can be easy for people, you know, to judge, especially if they've never been in that situation or if they've been hurt by a cheater before, or you know what I mean, if they've been on the opposite end of it. And I think that's why cheating books in general are such a you know, button pusher, because people feel very strongly either way. But, you know,
they're very polarizing. They're polarizing.
Yeah, and that's what I wrote in my review of the book, was that we have to just remember that this person's human, and humans are flawed no matter, I mean, maybe her flaws are different than yours, but that doesn't mean you don't have them, you know? And it's like, it's so easy, it's really easy to judge and to get angry and, you know, say you would never do that. But you know, she probably would have said the same thing before this
and
happened.
And she did. She did. I remember this one instance. We were sitting down, and she was just crying, and she had said that that was never supposed to be me. I was never supposed to be that woman. I was never supposed to be that person that did this to my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened, and she can't take it back. She did it, and she's right. It was never supposed to be her. I'm sure a lot of people say that after they make mistakes. Wow, how did that happen? It was never supposed to happen. How do I take it away? And you can't, and you should never say never. I mean, that's something that I've learned in my life. Always never say never, because anything can happen. Nobody is immune to anything in this world. And, you know, we
so do
all
you
have
think that readers are, do you think readers have had a hard time separating you from Tori's story? Like, have you been getting a lot of backlash for the thoughts and actions of her character versus, because, I mean, a lot of times I had to stop and remind myself, like, this isn't a story that EK came up with. This is a story that she's just telling. So anything the character did or that happened in the story, people, readers can't get angry with you about because you're just telling it. You know what I mean? It's totally different than the typical, like, oh, I hated what she did with this character. Or, I hated how it ended. You know what I mean? Because that's not on you.
But, you know, I feel that way about fictional characters, too. You want to judge me with what I do with my characters. I'm just telling their story. And I know
for some
it may be hard to understand, but when I'm writing even a fiction book, I don't even plot my books. I don't do any of that. I don't know when I end a chapter. I have no idea what the next chapter is going to be. I literally just kind of follow my characters around, and whatever happens, happens. And trust me,
mm-hmm.
there have been things that happened to my characters I did not want to happen. But I wrote it
the way it goes that
I felt it should happen. I never want to come in and skew something. If in my head my characters are leading me here, I need to go there. And I remember, you know, a couple books ago, I was scared about how the book was going to end. I knew it had to end the way it was going to end. I was terrified because I knew the readers, there was going to be backlash. I remember calling Taryn Fisher, and she was like, if you don't write it authentically, your book is shit. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it.
Well,
course,
there you go.
But with, but I'm the storyteller. You know what I mean? It's like, you as the reader can't say this is how the book should be. It's just a story. It is how it is. It's how the artist creates it. With Author Anonymous, I haven't had backlash as far as them being able to separate me. A lot of it has been a lot of praise. Yes, we hate Tori. I can't believe what she did, but you were the perfect one to tell it. Thank you for being her voice. That, honestly, is about 99% of the emails and the messages that
awesome.
I get. It has
That's
been
awesome,
really positive. And it's also been a platform. I cannot tell you how many women have messaged me. And if they're not comfortable messaging me, I am not even kidding. They've been messaging my assistant pages worth of telling and opening up about the affair that they're in or that they were in or that they're falling
into. Oh, wow.
Or women that are like, oh, my gosh, I'm about to go down this path and I want to go down this path. And it has been like these women just needed an outlet, and that to me was worth every bit of it because I saw
that's
the pain
awesome.
On Anonymous's face when she was telling me the story, and to be able for these women to be like, oh, my God, I'm not alone. No, you're not alone, you know? Like, Anonymous is not the first person to do this, and she is not going to be the last. She is just one of many.
Yeah.
But, you
know,
this is life, and we struggle. And whether you go down the rabbit hole or not, we all struggle at some point in, you know, in our marriages. We just do.
Mm-hmm. Well, any relationship, it comes with ups and downs, but you know, it was, I think another part that it's hard to really accept is the fact that she was happy in her marriage in the beginning. I mean, it was copacetic. It was, you know, it was balanced, I guess, in a sense, you know. I mean, you get the whole family together in the morning, in the beginning of the book, you know, having breakfast, having their coffee, getting ready to go to school, go to work, and, you know, it's like, it kind of throws you for a loop.
She was high. I know, because, and I kept asking, like, what was it? And she was like, I don't know what it was. It literally fell into my lap. It was the idea of the grass is greener, and I didn't even bother to ever look over the fence. But here it is in my lap, you know?
She even says, like, about the attention-seeking or the feeling of, you know, wanting to be wanted or the adventure, the thrill of it. I mean,
right.
There was all different things you could see that she was feeling and experiencing that she hadn't before.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it serves even as a cautionary tale for some of those people that, you know, might be going down this road and seeing how much heartache or how much, you know, pain she went through and put her family through, that maybe they would, you know, think again, or maybe they'll, you know, wonder, question themselves at least on whether it's worth it.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I think my biggest problem was just the dishonesty. Like, I just wanted her to just be like, you know what, I'm going to man up and tell him what I've been doing.
Yes.
Except that I want this for myself. I want to be kinky, and I want to do this and do that. You know, then I would have had – that was my biggest problem with her. And not that, you know, I don't understand that there's moments of weakness and, you know, we all have them. But that was,
yes,
like, my
do.
Biggest – the one thing I couldn't let go of. I tried to forgive her for everything and be, you know, understanding. But that was the one thing where I was just like, God, just tell him so he can move on, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I'm a wife and a mother, and when we would talk about that, like, why didn't you just say anything? It was always she was scared that she was going to make the wrong choice, that she was just so lost and so confused, and so she didn't want to risk anything. She kept saying, like, she kept telling me, like, her biggest fear was ending the marriage and always being alone. She kept saying, all I could think about was, who's going to want me, a single mom, you know, like, what if this was my one shot? Because some people get divorced and they're always alone. And yeah, it was, I mean, you could see just in that she would tell me, like, her insecurities, her, you know, like, she is a needy person from what I can see, very needy, very clingy. She has to have that comfort, that, you know. And in relationships, there is no security. You say I do, but there is no security there. You know, it is a big old leap of faith. And you say, till death do us part, but 60% of marriages.
No one actually knows. Yeah.
It's a crapshoot. And that was, she had this fear just embedded in her that if I don't make a choice, I, you know, she just got lost, you know. Obviously,
yeah,
just tell the truth. But if it was you and it was your family at stake with your children, I can see her fear. I can understand it.
Well, especially, you know, I mean, not knowing what you're getting with Alec either. Because, I mean, it was
rough.
I mean, she saw what he showed her.
And he seems shady to me.
Oh,
God. Yes. Oh, my God. I don't even want to get started on this man. I might not shut up.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we don't want to spoil the entire book.
And I guess one of the funny
things,
because typically when you write books, they're fictional characters. Like, the readers can say, what about this character? What was it? You know, what was the truth? And you can answer it. You can say, well, this was the truth, because it's a fictional character in your head. But I'm wondering the reader, what was, I have no freaking idea. I am coming up with my own assumptions just right along with you guys, because Anonymous has, you know, we differ in our feelings about certain aspects of what all happened. I don't agree with her on everything. I'm like, no, I don't agree with you there.
I have to
the very end of the book, and when he says that to her, I nearly threw my iPad. I was like, no.
Oh, I know. She told me that, you know. Oh. I wasn't even going to end the book there. I wasn't going to extend a little further into her life so you could see a little bit more, but I thought that for the purpose of the book, what a great way to end it, because...
That was really
I
remember, line of I don't know.
Every male
in
dunk
all of our
within
hearts.
Like a 5 mile radius. It was. I was like, bastard. I just. I'm like, who needs
oh,
a
yeah, that was
push?
I'm like,
I'm here to deliver.
Oh yeah, you little shit. That's how I felt.
Oh man.
Terrible, terrible. I was just like foaming at the mouth after that. But anyways. What was an eye-opening moment for you hearing her story? And I got to tell you, while I was reading it, I didn't know that set life was real.
Yeah, me either.
I figured it was some sort of like aspect that you might have made up or something, but no, it's real.
I know.
No, originally, I had put like a fake website in the book, and then it was she was nervous. She was like, "I'm just nervous." She was nervous that this would somehow come back to her. I'm like, there's just no way. We got to put the real website in there.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was like shocked.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was funny because we had never heard of it before. And then we were talking to author Ellie Masters last week or the week before. Yeah, well, last week. And she was saying that she has a FetLife account. And we were like, oh my God.
We're like, shit, that's real.
Everywhere.
Oh my God.
It's real. And let me tell you, a lot of authors do get on there because it's not the first time I have heard about it. I have heard about it. Authors and from other authors. I have one really good author friend that, yeah, she's gone on there for years. To, yeah, it's, you know, it's a real thing.
That is interesting. So, do you know how Anonymous feels about the reader's reactions to her story, and do you think she was expecting a different outcome, or, you know, how she's handling? Do you know how she's handling all the reviews on her behavior?
She knew going into it that people were going to hate her. And at the same time, she had the fear that people were going to hate her. And I kept saying, like, I would write scenes, and I'm like, ouch, like, this is going to get, this is going to ruffle people's feathers, you know. And she's like, oh, my God, are they going to hate me? And it's like, yeah, they are. Clearly, you're not. You didn't make good choices, you know. But at the same time, even though they hate you, the goal of this is that they're gonna, some of these people, hopefully over half of them, they're gonna hate you, but I think they're gonna understand you, and I think you're gonna touch them, and I think you're gonna make them feel like they're not alone. And so she's also a very, I deserve it. You know, I deserve people to hate me. I was an awful person, you know, and she's always been that way, and I depict her in the book exactly that way, always like, I am a terrible person.
Yeah, she does say that a lot.
So it doesn't...
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't seem surprised.
her hardest part is, it's my name on the cover, I'm the face of this book, and if negativity can't be, like, it can be aimed toward her, but not directly, because nobody knows who she is.
Not directly,
so it's coming on my lap. And so there has been a lot where she's like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, you have nothing to be sorry for. I agreed to do this, you know, like, don't even worry about it. It's been a crazy ride. That's all I can say. There is absolutely, things were unexpected. Most of it was expected. We knew people were going to have a strong reaction to this.
You think it's like a form of penance for her?
I think from what she...
Like, this is her way of just punishing herself for what she did? Like, let me just get this out there and let people beat me to death, you know, with all their words on what they...
No,
I
don't
think so. It could make her feel like
she's... I think she's done a good job of that herself.
Yeah, for sure.
From what she has further, like, explained to me, it was just she's holding on to this huge secret. And if any of us get this huge piece of gossip or this huge secret,
mm-hmm.
our first inclination is, I have to tell somebody. And she's just been carrying this around with her. So
yeah.
I think, you know, and as far as she has told me, like, it was therapeutic. It took some weight off her shoulder.
Yeah.
I use the word cowardly very loosely because I don't think that she's a coward. But if you can understand what I'm saying, it was a way for her to be honest in a cowardly form. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That
mm-hmm.
is that.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I can only imagine if she had, you know, been like, yep, it was me, you know, like just the amount of anger and hatred she would feel. Like, she doesn't need that on top of everything
yeah.
else. So I wouldn't
yeah,
sign up for that either.
It's funny,
you know?
Because, like, there have been authors that have read it and readers that have read it that have made very strong comments about Tori's character, like, how she behaved. And it's like some
mm-hmm.
of those are her friends. They just don't know. You know?
I know. I was wondering that, too.
That's what's weird about it, you know? But she,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
If you only knew.
Yeah. So it's been weird.
Well, how do you feel about the fact that readers are openly speculating as to who Author Anonymous is? Like on
okay.
social media,
so,
all these outlets,
right.
yeah.
So, look, we could have come out with this book and have just called it, we never even had to say it was a true story. But as a writer, you want people to pick up the book. You want people to read the book. And it was a true story. And I think if we would have hid that fact, it would have been a lot less impactful. So
mm-hmm. yeah, for sure.
This is a true story. You know, we knew people were going to speculate. Of course we knew. We didn't think that the people that the readers were speculating would have such a powerful reaction. Most authors, from what I have, you know, heard and what has been, you know, said to me, the ones that have been, you know, oh, is it you, have been very much like, no, it's not. And I've reached out to some of those authors, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I am so sorry. Like,
yeah,
I knew people would speculate. Like, I hope you, and they have all been like, it's cool, it's not me, whatever, don't even worry about it. I read the book and I loved it, you know, like, I've gotten a lot of
yeah.
that. Some
and you can't control
have,
it,
you know, have
too.
Been upset by it. And for that, I'm truly sorry. There's, but I don't know. Like, for me, it's like, gosh, there are so many based on true stories, unauthorized biographies, all, like, it's
mm-hmm.
a genre. It's a huge genre. So, I don't know. I mean, it.
There's no reason for you to apologize anyway. I mean, you can't control what readers say after they read your story,
like,
you know.
Okay, I wrote the book. I put it out there. Beyond that, I have no control. And if somebody
Absolutely.
Wants to go as far beyond as to speculate who, well, not even far beyond. People are going to speculate. I know that. I'm not stupid to that fact. But
yeah.
if a reader goes above and beyond in a negative fashion as far as attacking, that has nothing to do with me. I didn't spur that reaction. Like, and I can't
yeah,
take it away.
Yeah.
But I also can't come out and say, no, it is not that person. Because I'm
yeah.
just narrowing the playing field down. And going into it, I
yeah.
knew my attorney advised me, do not ever say yes. Do not ever say no. You keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
And okay,
yeah.
I did. That's all I can do. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what else to say about that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So do you find that this book was harder to write or easier than your works of fiction?
Both. It was easier because the story just laid out for me. I'd have to create or I'd have to spend the time on researching or figuring out how this is, you know, I didn't have to plot a story together. So in that sense, it was very easy. I just knew, you know, this is the story. Here it is. It was hard because I was dealing with a real person. And it was hard because I, you know, at first it was easy to write, and the deeper we got into the story, the more I was talking to Anonymous on the phone every single day, it got hard because real emotions were involved, and my heart really started to soften for this person, and I tried to keep a hard heart to tell it as raw and ugly as possible because she was very ugly during this time in her life. Struggle, it was hard. It was hard. And having for her to read how harshly I wrote it and then just to listen to her cry and be upset, it was hard. And I felt bad. I'm like, I'm sorry. That's how it is. I can't sugarcoat you, you know?
Yeah.
So it was hard.
And that's
hard.
What she wanted you for, so yeah. I can imagine, gosh, emotions, you know? Like, at least when we're writing our stories, we don't have anyone to really answer to or to be like, is this right? Is this okay, you know? And then to have the person, you know, that you're writing about and then for, you know, all the context, the stuff that you're writing, I don't know, that had to be nuts.
Yeah, it was.
I think it was really uncomfortable. I feel like, crying again.
Either I was sending her like a really harsh chapter, like this is going to be hard to look at yourself in the mirror in this chapter, or it was, so here's your masturbation scene. Like, here's your sex scene. I don't.
I didn't even think about that.
The giggly girl's like, okay. She was like, I'll read it, but we are not discussing it. I'm like, perfect. We don't need to discuss that.
Oh, I wanted to find out more about this subspace shit. I was like, really? What level?
I know, right?
It was the first time I had heard about it. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, man. I was like, what sort of level of sex do you have to hit? It's like a video game.
It was, you know, we talked about it. And first she told me, I was like, what? And so I got online and started, like, Googling it. I'm like, nah, it's a for real thing. And, you know, but obviously the way that night went for her was different than what I wrote. Obviously the sex they had lasted an extreme amount of time, but I just can't write like hours worth of sex or whatever in a book. It has to be a quick scene, you know, or else we're just bored. But emotions were on high. I mean, she was absolutely devastated. And I mean, I just can't even imagine her emotional state. And I think any of us can be thrown into panic attacks, anxiety attacks, hyperventilating, you know what I mean? And so when she laid it out for me, I'm like, okay, I get it. You don't really know what it is. Okay. I never experienced that.
Yeah, I think I kind of like just stared at that page.
Old faithful Google, I'm like, what?
Jesus. Yeah. Well, how much of the story do you feel is taken from your own creative license? I mean,
yeah,
you know, it was all laid out for you. Yeah.
I mean, it was all laid out. Obviously, we had a lot of chopping. We had to pass time a certain way. A couple things I had to write out of sequential order to make it blend well as a book and not just get too just, you know, okay. I needed the book to be a page turner, you know. So, obviously, this affair took over a year. In real life, she said that her and the other guy, which I call Alec, fought a lot. They had a lot of fights. I decided to leave that out. Obviously, all the sex I kind of put. I mean, some of the things, like the way he would push her and make her do things differently. I mean, that I laid that out honestly, but obviously, like you know, I take a little bit of grain of salt just because I wasn't there.
Yeah. And I doubt she wrote it, or, you know, told you word for word.
Changing things to protect her identity. Different city, different family dynamics. You know, I changed the amount of kids that she has. I changed the gender of the kids. I changed her husband's career. I changed the city they lived in. I, you know, even changed the type of author that she is. You know, in the book, I said she writes typical alpha male books. Does she? Does she not? You know, I had to change up a lot to protect her identity.
Absolutely.
So when people read this and they're like, oh, well, you know, this points to all these different directions. It must be this author. Remember, I changed all those facts. So you can't pinpoint it, you know. So that, just to protect her, I created all, you know, whatever. Let's switch this up. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, how long was this process? It sounds like, I mean, even if the story was laid out for you, it had to be a lot of work to get all these things, you know, deciding what to cut and, like, making sure that it's written just right, and especially having the person who experienced it in real life reading everything you're writing.
It didn't take that long. Now, she contacted me at this point. It's been, like 2.5 years ago, I think, at this point. And I was in the middle of writing my Black Lotus series. So I had to put, like, this whole author anonymous thing, like, on hold until I finish, you know, my series that I was currently working on. But once I knew the story, it didn't take that long. I kind of knew, okay, let's cut this out. You know, I mean, I don't know. I just kind of pieced it together, you know, to make the puzzle fit in a more crisp and concise, you know, time form. Her reading it as
it was more
like
editing, and then I guess.
Yeah, it didn't take that long. You know, like I would write and send her what I wrote at the end of every single day. She read it. It's not like she really had me change anything. The things that kind of came up is that really wasn't my thought process, EK, or I was feeling more like this instead of how you described it. And so I would tweak those little things because obviously I'm not in her head, so she had to kind of help me with that. But it actually went pretty fast once the writing got started. I would say I wrote the book in about 6 to 8 weeks. Me, that's fast. I know other people write a lot faster than that, but for me,
that's really fast. Yeah, that's
But again, I'm not getting stuck on any writer's block or anything like that, because it was all just so it helped move along a lot faster.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, if you could go back, would you still have agreed to write this book?
Absolutely. I love this book.
Good.
It may have created waves, but I think that's a testament to the fact that I was able to create a reaction in people. And that's what we all want, either a good reaction, a bad reaction, an angry reaction. That my job as a writer is to make you feel something. If you hate her, great. If you love her, great. If you're appalled by the book, great. At least you felt something, you know, because if you didn't feel anything, then I didn't do my job. I felt like her story was worth telling. My journey that I took with her, and the way now that I can look at something so differently, because I was that person. Cheating, that's so disgusting. And it is disgusting, but it's not my place to judge. And I don't look at her like, negatively. I think she helped soften my sense of understanding and accepting. Like you said, we're all humans. We're all flawed.
Yeah.
Her flaws are painted in a different color than yours, but in the end, a flaw is a flaw is a flaw. A sin is a sin is a sin. No matter how big or how small, we all fuck up. And she... going through this with her, I love it. And for me, the story aside, because I felt so much pressure to make her proud of the story, I feel like it's my best writing to date. And for that, I am just, I read this book over and over, and I'm like, how did I do that? How did those words come out of me? And I am very proud of the story. It's ugly, but it's honest, and it's real life. And real life is
pretty. Yeah, for sure.
It's messy.
Yeah, I mean, we've got so many people wondering, you know, or wanting to know who this person is. And I know I'm somebody, I'm like, I don't ever want to know who this woman is. Because, you know, throughout the book, you see her interacting with, you know, her friends. And it's like, I could actually see myself being friends with this woman, you know, regardless of her extramarital affairs, you know. If I was a friend, I might have given her a good smack and said, "What are you doing?" But it seems like a normal, friendly person, like somebody you could be friends with. And I think it's such a shock because, you know, I'm reading this, I'm like, I probably know, you know, people like this, and even though I don't approve of what her choices, you know. Yeah,
right.
This is somebody I can see definitely knowing in my life.
And like her,
yeah,
her
and
best
maybe
friend,
everyone
told her like, you're not a bad person. You made bad choices for a moment in your life. You made the most fucked up choices, but she could be anyone. But that's the reality.
Yeah.
This happens every day.
I know.
It
I almost
could be
want to ask
your
these.
Sister, you have no idea because people turn into really good liars when they're trying to hide stuff. But it happens.
Well, that's another thing I want to, like, you know, have readers stop and think. Like, it's easy to hate someone you don't know, but imagine if your best friend or the woman in your life that you hold closest to your heart, like, imagine if she did this. Would you still be as harsh, or would you still judge as harshly if it was someone you loved and they did that, you know? So it's easy to judge someone you don't know, especially an anonymous someone that you're never going to have to face. And even if you did, they're not going to tell you that it was them, you know? But if you stop to think, you know, if this is someone, because, you know, I've known women to be in situations like this, and it's not easy, and it hasn't made me love or care for them any less, even if they've made bad choices, you know? And I think that's where, from the very beginning, I've kind of had an open mind with it, even if there were times where I was like, oh, my God, I was so frustrated. But the fact is that people are human, and they do these things,
you
know?
You know what? And this just popped into my head. Like, if people were to say, I'm glad I don't know her because I would hate her, you know? And it's just a thought that popped into my mind. What does that say about you as a person? Do you really pick your friends just because they have perfection in your eyes? You know what I mean? Like, you can't, you know, like if I were to be that person to be like, oh, you did this in your past, I can't be friends with you. I freaking hate you. Well, what does that say about me?
Yeah.
You know, like, so... Yeah. And it just comes down to, you know, you can have an opinion, absolutely. And trust me, I have my opinion about what she did that year. Disgusting, awful, horrible, disgraceful. It's bad. But I can't judge her. You know what I mean? I can have feelings about it, but I can't just ostracize. I don't know.
It's a hard
definitely.
The whole
it
thing
is.
Yes.
Hard. Now I'm thinking, like, but would I accept, like, a murderer to be my friend? Because now I'm judging. You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah, exactly right.
I don't know. Maybe I have absolutely validity to anything I'm saying. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it also is a soft spot with a lot of readers when the children were involved. And, you know, I mean, that's reality of the situation. But, you know, people get, you know, if she had been a single or not single, but if she had been just married with no kids and there were no kids, I think she would have, you know, people might not have hated her as much. And that doesn't mean that it's okay, but it's like, you know, people get very protective over, you know, like there's children involved and, you know, how could she think of her children that way, or how could she forget about her children that way, or you know what I mean? And it's,
well,
I know,
I
it's crazy.
She never forgot about her children. And it's hard to depict that in the book because it was hard for me as the author to insert parts during that time that she had left her husband to show she's calling them, she's talking to them, she's video chatting. Like, it was, I didn't put it in the book because I found it a struggle of where was appropriate to fit it into these monstrosity of scenes that we had during that final act, whenever she, that final part. She did not forget about her kids. She called them. She, you know, she did all that stuff. I, as the author, struggled on how to put that in there. She never forgot about her kids. The moment when she saw her kids, it was, that to her, she says, was the moment that was like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
How could I? She didn't forget about them, but she did say, like, how could I do this? How could I forget about them? How could I do this to them? Because in a sense, she did kind of leave them behind, obviously. She left. But in reality,
well, she was
truth is,
very
her husband sat down and they said, we're going to lie to these kids and say that mommy is away on business. So therefore, she wasn't going to pick her kids up from school because they would have to explain this. She didn't forget about her kids. You know, shame on me in there or forcing a way to put that into the book. It's just as I was writing it, I just couldn't find a way to do it. I thought it was just kind of implied that she would be talking to her children.
I don't think it really was, because I've seen a lot of readers comment on this fact, this very scene when she goes and she sees the kids at her best friend's house. And she's like, she couldn't believe that she had forgotten about them. And I know a lot of readers were really, I think that hardened them towards Tori.
Yeah.
Completely.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, it's good that you're
they were
able
just like,
to
how could
up,
you,
though.
How could she, yeah.
Yeah.
Was,
and I understand
was,
that. Yeah, she didn't see them, but she still had a connection to them. But it was more of she left that kind of world for this other world, and it was consuming to her while she was away from her husband, and it was that, you know, how could I forget that life is still going on, that my husband has to work, and these girls need a place to be, and that while my best friend and her husband have been watching, like, she's just, she completely forgot that life was going on, you know?
And
it's a hard pill to swallow. It was hard, trust me, I would listen to her tell me things, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how can you do that? Trust me, I had very strong reactions, too. I'm a mother, too, and a wife, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And of course, like, I'm like, God, your poor husband. You know, but I'm on the outside. It's easy for me to say what's right and wrong when you're on the outside, but put ourselves in any tumultuous situation that we're like the nucleus of, you can't see straight. You know?
Yeah.
And it, I mean, I could on the outside saying that was a bad choice.
It's always easier when you're not in it.
Exactly.
You're thinking a bit more clearer. But but we're left with a bit of a cliffhanger at the end of Author Anonymous, in the sense that nothing really has been resolved. Is there a sequel that you guys are planning on? Oh,
no.
I can't tell you.
No,
my heart couldn't take another one.
One book, that's all I signed on to do. I don't think the sequel, there's really not, it wouldn't make a very good book. I mean, you know, this was the year in her
all
life.
All the juicy stuff happened.
We're done. You want the second book? That's going to be
no.
boring.
No, I don't. I don't think I could handle it.
And I just think ending it, she wasn't very happy when I chose to end it where I ended it. She was like, you're not going to tell them kind of like what happened after? I'm like, no. I think this is more impactful to show
this
life, and it's messy. And what does happen? What does happen?
Yeah.
I can't wrap a story like this up in a pretty bow. There is no pretty bow after an affair. It doesn't go back.
No, I mean, she's not dead. The story's still going.
Yeah, so I can't just say, here's all this, and then we live happily ever after, or everything got destroyed. It's this is what happened, and where does life go from here? Because I don't know what my life is going to be tomorrow. Shit could hit the fan, and who knows what could happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for real.
Or,
oh, my God, but that ending gutted me. I was just like, oh.
But I also like, you know, I mean, but that's life. You know, I mean, the purpose of the book wasn't, does she get away with it? Does it work out, or does everything fall apart? That wasn't the purpose. The purpose was, look at what can happen when everything is okay in your life. It can happen to
you
her.
Know,
it can happen to anybody.
Yeah,
and
to
that
me,
was,
she was
yeah,
an addict.
Me, yes, that's exactly. She behaved like
to
a
me,
freaking
like,
drug
you
addict.
You could look at any story of a drug addict, of an alcoholic, and they do, I mean, they sacrifice their families, they sacrifice their marriages, they sacrifice anything to get their fix. And
they do.
Maybe
they walk
for
out
her,
on kids,
the thrill, yeah, the thrill or the sex or the excitement or the attention was her fix. And she sacrificed all of that to get it. And, you know, it might be easier for people to understand when they say, you know, it's the disease of alcoholism or whatever. But she was a perfect example of that. And that's not something you can just turn off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, people are alcoholics
for the
rest
of their
lives.
She knew it was bad, but she couldn't stop, you know. And that's how she explained
absolutely.
It to me, that it was just a constant pull. She knew it was bad, but it felt so good that she just couldn't stop. It's kind of like people that overeat. You know?
Yeah, anything like that.
I am miserable. That shit is bad for me, but you know, it's like people struggle with addictions in all sorts of forms, you know? And
we would cheese.
And yeah, I mean, I swear, like, I'm addicted to reality TV. I know it's killing my brain cells, but I cannot stop.
Oh, God.
A wider form of addiction.
Just don't let it end your marriage or
anything. Right. She just let that quote-unquote drug take over, and she said it didn't even, like, dawn on her until her therapist had said, you are addicted to these endorphins. And it's like, man, what did I do if I thought that? You know the feeling that we all have when we were first, like, with a guy, and just the excitement of kissing me. Like, oh, my God.
It's an adrenaline rush.
It is an adrenaline rush, and she said she got addicted to that because she never thought she would feel that again, and she was addicted to it. And she confused that with love. If it feels so good, then what I have with my husband must be bad. And she tricked herself into thinking,
Alex,
I must not love my husband if this feels so good. But she always, you know, she said, I always love my husband.
Fucked up. We totally think Alec is like a sociopath, by the way. Just to put that out there.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. He's very creepy.
He's really good at what he does.
Really good. Creepy good. And, like, the fact that he's over at, like, his brother's house with his kids and everything, I'm like, I bet you he's married with his own children, and that's, like, you know.
Oh, my
gosh. Like, good. He
I
got
know.
A house to talk to her. He's like, I'm just watching my niece and nephew. Bullshit. Those are your kids, your wife, and the house making you dinner.
I know. Like, I don't know. He always seems shady to me. I'm like, gosh. And then when, like, she was telling me, like, her friend kept saying, like, why does he have all this free time on his hands? And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yes.
Why is he fucking never at work? What is he
and
doing?
And I never thought of that either, though. Like, when
and
he
I
was always available, it never occurred
that.
To me.
I think her friend was absolutely right. I think
yes.
that guy that worked at that, I think that's one of his brothers. That's what I think. Well, I don't think it's him. No, I think it's all right. Very questionable, too.
Yes. Mm. All right, so we've got a reader's question, and our reader is Misty. She says, this book got so deep into my head, and I was just reading it. My question is, what was your headspace like writing this book, and was it a different feeling than when you have written your previous work?
Well, yeah. I mean, every book feels different because you're dealing with different quote-unquote characters or people, you know, so it's all different. Where was my headspace? It was, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, for the most part, like, I was pretty in tune and connected with the story. I mean, I was always connected with the story, and the writing would go and whatever, but then there were days that would come that were really hard chapters. And the difficult part came when she would read those chapters, and we would always discuss them afterwards on the phone, and then the tears would come. And then I would just get upset right along with her because, in a sense, when you're writing, no matter who the character is, you have to become that character to be able to write it.
Yeah.
So for these 2 months, I felt like I was walking in her shoes, and it was weird because if she was a fictional character, I would have led her in a different direction. You know what I mean? So I was forced to
stay away
to
from
go
the shady
down.
Motherfucker.
Right. So it was hard because I was dealing with a real person with real feelings, and often I would write something that just would set her off. Not like angry, but just like, I cannot believe. I guess her reading it. Here's the ugly truth. You can't distort this in your mind. Here it is. Here's my
absolutely.
Word.
She had to face it.
And she would often say, I can't believe I fucking did that. How could I do that? I'm like, oh, she did it. You know, here it is. So it was hard dealing with that aspect of it because I'm dealing with a real person every single night.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, so it was hard. It was emotional, and I had to grit my teeth a lot because it was painful to write some of the shit that she did.
Mm.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You just answered the next two questions.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
No, you just answered like all three of the questions that Misty had for you.
If she was a fictional character, I wanted her to have an aha moment a lot sooner. I wanted things to play out differently. And so it was, you know, it was. Couldn't do that, you know.
Mm.
She, you know.
Now, Misty found the most difficult part of the book for her to read was when she told Alec, "I love you most and more," which is a line that her husband would tell her. And I have to say that kind of sucked when
that
I
was,
read. I was really pissed at her for that.
That was one of those ouch moments. I kept saying that. It was like a new thing for me when writing this book. I'm like, ouch. That hurts.
Yeah.
There were a lot of those in the book for me. That one, when he threw her wedding rings, and I was like, did that really happen? And she was like, yeah. And I'm like, God. okay. Like, I'm one of those weird, like, superstitious people, like, I never take my wedding rings off. You know, sometimes you'll have girlfriends like, ooh, look at your ring. Can I try it on? No, you can't. That must be bad. Like, I'm so superstitious. But, like, I'm like, God, he did that? Jesus.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, of just more. Oh, God. I mean, everything was an ouch moment. There were so many rough things. I don't know.
I always say that if you don't get a reaction out of your readers, then you're doing something wrong. Then, you know, no matter what the reaction is, you want something. You want to make them feel, make them think, make them, you know, just react. So I think you did a superb job.
You accomplished that in spades.
That goes, And, stirring up controversy, so what? Get people talking. That's awesome. I thought it was genius. Like I was telling you before, as soon as I heard about this book, I was like, this is amazing, you know? I mean, who doesn't want to read it? I mean, just the fact that it's a true story just makes it all that more interesting. So I think it was fantastic.
And it was never written to stir up controversy. That was that's not my heart. And people that know me know that's not me. It was, I just truly felt like it deserved to be told, and she wanted me to do it, and I did it. And
just, you know, being honest.
People are going to point fingers, speculation is going to happen. That comes with any, you know, type of book like this. And trust me, I'm not the first person to write a book like this. I'm not going to be the last person to write a book like this, you know. But it was written on my part in the most sensitive way I could possibly write it. And trust me, people want to point fingers. No, authors need to know that I changed everything about this girl in this book to protect her identity. You can't pinpoint it on anybody. I just don't believe I changed way too much about her. I love the book. I love that I could be the one to tell it for her. And if I get backlash on my part, I'm willing to, you know, bear the brunt of that for her and for the book. I'm very proud of the book. I'm very, very, very proud.
You should be.
I love this that is, people are getting these strong reactions. Again, whether it's hate or it's understanding or it's, you know, it doesn't matter. As long as you're feeling something, I don't care what it is. Because if you want to hate a book so much, great. I have books I hate so much, too, and I can't get them out of my mind, which says something about the author that wrote it. It's like, wow, how did they spark this intense reaction? But I think as artists, that's the point of art, is, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's
well,
shake you
up. Well,
you
want
let's
to change
you
someone's,
let's, you know.
Exactly. You want someone to make someone see something differently or to see the world through a different scope, and you can't do that if you don't test their limits a little bit.
Right. Like earlier today, I was upstairs with one of my girlfriends watching Black Mass, right? Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That mobster, fucking heartless. Whatever, of course, mine's dark mind. I'm like, oh my God, look at how he's killing that person. But it sparks such a strong, disgusting, just appalling reaction out of me. And I have watched that movie about 12 times. Like, I can't get enough of it. And the guy is absolutely deplorable, but I love it. I can't look away. It's a train wreck I couldn't look away from. And I love to hate things. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm always drawn to those types of stories, the quote-unquote taboo, what people like to call taboo. That's what I'm drawn to. I love
it. It's like the darker side of humanity.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
it exists everywhere.
Club, I am there every time she releases. I want to read about the disgusting, vile men that are torturing these women. And I hate them, but I love it because I'm always like, my gut is just like, ooh. But I love it.
Absolutely.
I like to be tortured.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Well, I mean, we're glad that you talked to us, EK. We weren't sure how open you would be, but it was really awesome that you came and talked to us about this book and kind of, you know, set some things straight for some of our listeners and readers. So thank you for joining us
and
tonight.
Me.
Well, thank you for having me. You know, it's hard, you know, when I'm, like, on social media and I know things kind of get twisted and whatever. But, no, thank you for having me and allowing me to talk about, you know, this and getting some rumors kind of cleared up.
Yes, for sure. I bet that was. You know, it's nice just to hear it straight from the author's mouth, so you don't have to hear stories about, you know, he said, she said. So it definitely helps everybody in the end.
Right.
And is there a good place for people to follow you on social media?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of, you know, going a little bit easy on Facebook right now. I'm diving into my next book, but I am always very active on Instagram, author E.K. Blair.
Nice.
On Instagram, Facebook, you know, author E.K. Blair. You can always, you know, tap in to information by subscribing to my website, ekblair.com. It's all very easy to find E.K. Blair. That Instagram, I'm
awesome.
Definitely on there all the time. Probably
love
more
Instagram.
Than
yes, yes. Kelly and I are big fans of Instagram too.
Huge fans.
Awesome. Well, yeah. This Thursday coming up, October 6th, we have author M. Robinson. So we hope everyone tunes
Woo-hoo!
In. And thanks again, EK, for hanging out with us.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, we hope you have a good night.
You too.
All right, guys.
Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.